So if you've been here for any length of time, you know kind of the vision for our church and what we're attempting to accomplish. And we believe in the power of the local church, and we believe in the power of the gospel. And our desire is to see the local church strengthened and the gospel advanced, not only here in the United States, but all over the world as well. And so we've had the privilege of partnering with Tony and his family for a number of years now, and really his ministry and mission is beginning to get some traction, and I'm excited about the future, and Southgate will play a role in that future over the next few years as well as we continue to partner and go faster and go deeper in correlation to what they're attempting to do. And so I've asked them to join us on stage today, and we're going to spend some time talking about their mission and their ministry, and I'm going to ask Jim Shirky is one of our deacons. He's also the chairman of our missions team here at Southgate, and he really is the link between our church and this family. And so, as you know, Jim and I had the fortunate ability to travel over there a couple years ago and spend time there and really see Tony's vision, and so I'm anxious for you to get to hear that. So, Jim, why don't you start a little bit and just tell us, introduce the family first and foremost, and then tell us a little bit about the country of Macedonia.
Okay. Well, if you were here a couple of years ago, Tony and Vesna were here with us. It's been a week at our missions conference, and we had the privilege of hosting them in our home then. And so they consider our home their American home. They came back this year, and we were just really pleased to have Vesna and Tony back, and also to have their son, Vassel. Now, Vassel, did you bring your wife with you?
No.
You didn't? Oh, are you married?
No.
Oh, he's not? Get that girl, she's single. Speaks very good English. But he's been a lot of fun. He speaks very good English, but he's not a very good Macedonian language teacher. Marty and I have not learned much from him at all. But it is a privilege to have him back. How many of you, if you were asked where the country of Macedonia is, would be able to find it on a map? Not very many. You've heard Macedonia mentioned in Scripture. Paul and his vision of the man from Macedonia, this is today's man from Macedonia. Paul had that vision, and so let me tell you where Macedonia is. Macedonia is a very small country. It's about 1/8 the size of Missouri. If you look at a map, you'd see that part of the world, Italy, you know how it's shaped like a woman's high-heeled shoe. Go off of the heel of that shoe, you'll cross the Caspian Sea, and the next landmass you'll find is the nation of Albania. The next nation going east is Macedonia. So Macedonia is a landlocked country surrounded by Albania on the west, Bulgaria on the east, Greece on the south, and Croatia, Slovakia on the north. Macedonia is a population of about 2 million people. Approximately 800,000 of those live in and around the capital city of Skopje. Tony lives in the village called Stromisa, and it has a population of about 40,000 to 50,000 inside the city. In the 72 villages around Stromisa, excuse me, total population of about 120,000. So that's Tony's mission field. Now, to tell you a little bit about the people of Macedonia, Macedonia has a population of about 2 million people. About 65% of them are Eastern Orthodox. Tony was a member of the Eastern Orthodox Church for 30-some years, never once heard the gospel. About 30% of the population is Turkish Muslim, and Tony has an amazing ministry with the Turkish Muslim people. The remaining 5% are a mixture of different faiths, but this is one very important point. The Christian population of Macedonia is about 0.37%. So Tony works in an unreached, unengaged climate with those two populations of Eastern Orthodox and Muslim. And he does an incredible job doing that. John and I have been there to witness it. And I talk to Tony at least once a week on Skype. And he's just an incredible man. This is an incredible family. And I am so privileged to be able to know them and to be able to host them in our home again this year.
So, Tony, this I know is a map of a portion of Macedonia. Tell us what this is.
This is my town that is with a red line. And around that, my town is the villages where is around my town. And we have about 72 villages around my town where there is only four or five villages. There is a small home group meetings, Bible study group, or small churches. And the rest of the villages, the people never hear about the gospel. Those people are 100% spiritual blind. And my vision is that we can fulfill all those villages, that we can plant small home group meetings that will become later churches so that people will become saved.
When Jim and I were in Macedonia, Tony took us up on a hill. I don't remember where it was. After we had an incredible lunch, he took us up on this big hill. And he showed us, you could see far away on top. You remember that? And he was showing us kind of his vision of his heart of trying to get evangelical churches planted in many of those villages. And we got to attend one of them in a faraway village, and we did a Bible study in there. But this next slide, tell us what this next slide shows us.
This slide is the home group Bible studies where we planted in the last couple months, and we are involved in five different places. Like the big triangle is the main church that we plant in our town, and the small red triangles are the villages where we plant a small home group meetings. And once a week, we brought all the home group meetings in our regular church service on Sunday night. So my vision is that we can raise enough disciples so that they can join us in the church planting team, so that we can fulfill all these villages with the gospel. This is the vision, and this is the work that we're working on.
And Tony, the church that you just planted, because you just planted it, when was your first service in that church?
It was like 2 months ago.
2 months ago, that's what I thought. And tell us the name of your church.
We were thinking how we're going to put the name of the church. So the name of our church is called Siloam. Siloam is the place. It's in the Bible, in the John chapter 9, when Jesus was see a blind man, and he put something in his eyes, and he told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam so you can see. And this guy go to the pool of Siloam, he washed himself, and he started to see. That place, Siloam, was the new beginning for this guy so that he can start to see. And we were thinking with our co-pastor that we're co-pastoring the church, how are we going to put the name of the church? And we agreed together that we're going to put the name of our church Siloam, because it's going to be the place for the new beginnings where the people will start to see spiritually.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And this, tell us what this picture is.
This is the our church that we planted in the town of Strumica. This is the first church service with the people. We brought the people, and there is maybe half of them, they are Turkish Muslim people. And half of them, they are Christians, but some of them, they are saved, some of them, they are not saved. They start to attend.
So how do you convince a Turkish Muslim to come to a church service?
I'm every day, I am among the Turkish Muslim people. Like 4 years ago, I started to get together with the Turkish Muslim people, and this is my main ministry. Somehow God was leading me to that ministry, and we planted a home group Bible study in one house, and for 4 years we were doing Bible study in that house, and 2 months ago that family get baptized. Their name is Fikri and Perihan.
Mm. That's awesome. What are you doing here?
This is evangelism where we're making in the front of that house. That white house is the place where we're getting together every Tuesday night. And all those people that are sitting in the chairs, they are Turkish Muslim people that had the opportunity to hear the gospel for the first time. This is what are we working during the summertime outside in the villages. We are making evangelism, and we are praying that somebody will be touched by the Holy Spirit, and that he will be that they will open their house for Bible study. This is in another place among the Turkish Muslim people. And we are having great time and great opportunity to share the gospel to the people.
You have a microphone there. What are you telling the people?
We are sharing the gospel, and we need to be very careful because, you know, there is some radical Muslims that can cause us a lot of problems. And when we are sharing the gospel, we try to be very, very softly to not push something hard so that we will not gonna enter in some kind of problems. This is the guy that I meet for the first time in that area. His name is Yuska, and I start to disciple him. But a couple months ago, he left me. He says, Tony, I don't want to be with you. And he started to be in the world again with the Muslims. So it's very discouraging when you're going to invest a lot of times, maybe a years with somebody, and after that, he will leave you.
So you spent a year with him, and then he went back to the Muslim faith.
Yeah, he went back. So this is the house where we're getting together every Tuesday night. This guy in the blue jacket, his name is Fikri. And he get baptized 2 months ago, and his son is Ayhan. He's my best disciple right now, and I believe that they can grow spiritually so that Ayhan can join us in our church planting team. Ayhan know how to read, but Fikri don't know how to read. Like a couple months ago, I went to trip to Germany, and before I went to that trip, Fikri says to me, Tony, when you're gonna come back from the trip to Germany, I want to be baptized. And I ask him, Fikri, why do you want to be baptized? And he says, Tony, for 30 years, I was following wrong God, and he was Muhammad. Now I know that Jesus came to forgive my sin, and I want to make commitment so that I will serve to Jesus.
That's awesome. Is this Fikri's house? Is this his house?
So this is the
house. We were in here. Yes. Yeah,
I thought. What's totally fitting right there is where John sat one night when he had about 25 or so Muslims there. And he shared the gospel with him, but John was sitting right there where Tony's at now.
And
this is another village where we plant a home group church. This is how our church is looking like. It's very primitive, but this is the way how we're working because we live in that kind of undeveloped country. And this village is called Banica, and those are Roma people there. And every Wednesday we have a church service there. And we have a great services there. And this is the place where, from that village, we invited many people to come to join us on every Wednesday night so that they can have opportunity to hear the gospel.
And you're having house churches Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Thursday.
Yeah, Monday through Thursday. And then church on Sunday nights.
Yes. Friday night we have a youth meeting. With
Friday night you have youth. Saturday you take off.
This is another village where we have a Bible study. They are my first cousins. And that village, the name of that village is called Enokukivo. And we started to get together maybe 2 months ago with that family. And can you go to another slide? This is the family. The guy, his name is Robert, his son Marian, and his wife Irinka. Marian and Irinka, I can say, that they are born again, that they are saved, but Robert, he's still struggling with the gospel. He still cannot make a step of faith so that he can give his life to Jesus, but I hope that that God will touch his heart. This is another village where we're going. The name of the village is called Staro Baldovci, and still we don't have a home group meeting at that house. At that village, we're getting together in one grocery store, very small, primitive grocery store. We're getting together with the people, but those people, that village is extremely, extremely poor people. And sometimes when we are going there, I'm not just comfortable just to share the gospel with the people because people are hungry, people don't have clothes, and when somebody is going to come to me and he's going to say, Tony, I'm hungry, I'm not going to say to him, okay, I will pray for you. I need to buy him food, you know. This is one of the ministries that we're working in that village because Bible says faith without acts is dead. So we want our faith to be with acts and to fulfill people not just with gospel, but with the basic needs that they can survive.
So you're handing out clothing here,
yeah,
right?
We're taking clothing.
You know, same here. And these are children?
These are children at that village, and they are children of Fikri's sister. Fikri's
okay.
Sister live in that village, so we're getting together.
They look very poor.
very, very poor, extremely poor. And but I have a hope that if we're going to plant a church there, maybe once a week we can get together all the kids and we can have kids Bible study, Bible stories for kids, so that they can grow with the Bible stories. And in the years ahead, 5-10 years from now, I believe that they can, some of them, they can become spiritual leaders to that place. This is our vision. This is
same
the family
village
that we're getting together and the clothes that we take to those people. This is another village where we start to get together. That village name, the village of the name is called Dobrashinci. And you see that lady that is in the corner with the red t-shirt? That lady is the sister of the man that he treat me. Those are Muslim people. And that lady with the red shirt is the sister of a man that he treat me that he will cut my hair. Once, while I was in the Fikri, in the front of Fikri's house, I was sharing the gospel to the people, and he came to me, he says, his name is Ali Hashem. He says, do you believe that Muhammad is the light of the world? And I says, no, Ali Hashem, Jesus is the light of the world. And he became very angry, and he came in the front of me, I was able to feel his breath, you know? And he says, Tony, if you were right now in the Arabic state, I will cut your head immediately right now. And I says to him, Ali Hashem, we don't need to be in the Arabic state so that you can cut my head. You can cut my head here. And when my head will fall down, my head will tell you that Jesus loves you. And we become friends somehow, you know? Instead, he tried to kill me, I show him love. That is the way how Jesus conquered the world with love. And we must learn from Jesus. So,
yeah, absolutely. You know, we get afraid that somebody's going to close the door when we hand them an invite to church. They're going to close the door. We don't worry too much about somebody saying they're going to cut our head off. So, hey, Tony, can I just ask you a question right here? Because he shared this story with me. And I actually remember when this story happened because we got an email blast and we were praying for you when that happened. But I want to ask you a question. This is incredibly hard work. I was there, and I've been there, and I know how hard it is to convince somebody that Muhammad is not the light of the world, that Jesus is the light of the world. And I know that you are threatened oftentimes and persecuted and mistreated and made fun of, and your life is oftentimes difficult because of the work that you're doing in those areas. It would be far easier, honestly, for you to forget all that, move out of the country of Macedonia, go someplace else in Europe where you could make a good living because you are a smart guy with an entrepreneurial mindset. Why? Would you tell the folks why you do this? Why do you do this?
13 years ago, I met Jesus. And before that, I was spiritual blind. Can I share my testimony?
Please.
And I was a musician in the past, and when I was 16, we created a band, and I was starting to drink all over the restaurants with my band, but when I was 18, my father died, and I stopped to play. And I went to the army, and when I come back from the army, I started to work some businesses. And I was thinking how I can make some more and more money. And I buy some video games, and I start to put in the villages video games, and I was making money. But beside the video games, I started to buy a slot machines. And I saw that I can make very, very easy money from the slot machines. And I started to buy more and more. And I started to put all over the villages. And money started to came very easy. And after, when I started to buy a slot machine, I opened a sports gambling. And that was a huge business. You know, gambling is a huge business in Macedonia. With a short period of time, you can make a bags full with money, you know. Somehow I was able, there was a days that I was able to make even $10,000 a day. And I started to destroy people's lives. But that was about 1 year I was running that business, and I was full with money. I didn't care about nothing, but I was willing only to make lots of money and to become very rich. But suddenly I had two partners with two other different towns. And those guys start to get involved with the mafia, and they start to pay to the mafia lots of money. And they decide to come and to destroy me, to steal all my money, and to put me on the bottom of my life. And they were successful. They were very big bodyguards, and I was not able to defend myself. And they took my money, they put me pressure, I was stay on zero. And at that time when I was traveling, I meet my wife. And when I meet my wife, because 4 years ago I was living in Switzerland for 1 year, I says to my wife, Vesna, let's go to live in Switzerland. No, there is no life here. We went to Switzerland to live, and at that time, I was not able to find a job in Switzerland. I was not able to find an apartment because all the countries, Romania, Bulgaria, they opened their doors and the people moved to Switzerland. And Switzerland is a very small country and it was fulfilled with the people. And I was not able to find a job. I spent the last money in Switzerland and I came back to Macedonia. And now in Macedonia, I'm without money, without job, without car, without nothing, without money for food. And a couple months ago, I had bags full with money, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars I had in my house. And now after a couple months, I am on the bottom in my life and I don't have money to survive. And we decided with my wife so that we can borrow some money from the bank and we buy a small machine for mini donuts, making mini donuts in the center in the town. And we start to make mini donuts and there is 12 young people, 6 boys and 6 girls, they were going around the Strumica, and when they saw the mini donuts, they started to speak, they were speaking English. They says, wow, mini donuts, let's go buy mini donuts. And they came and they buy mini donuts and they present themselves to us. And they says, I asked them, why are you here? And they says, we are missionary, we speak about gospel. I didn't know nothing about what the word gospel mean and why the word missionary mean, you know, why they here in our town. And they start to come every single night to our mini donuts. And they work for 1 month in our town. After 2 weeks, when we get together, they says, Tony, would you like to come in our town to have coffee together with your wife? And says, okay, let's go. And next day we went to have a coffee. And we are sitting in one coffee bar, and those 12 guys, they were sitting there. They were so kind, they had a very nice smile on their faces, and I was very pleased with them. And the leader of the group, his name was Kevin, and he started to share his life. And he says, Tony, can you share your life? I start to share my life. And suddenly, after when we finished it, I receive a question. Tony, what do you know about Jesus? He says, about Jesus? He have a long beard, he have a white clothes. I saw him on the TV. I know everything about Jesus. I didn't know nothing. I was spiritual blind. For the first time in my life, I hear that I am a sinner. He says, Tony, you are a sinner. You need forgiveness. He says, all of us, we are sinners. Jesus came so that we can be saved. And he introduced me to the pastor of the church and the missionary of the church, and they start to get together. After 2 weeks, I understand very well the gospel, but I was not ready to give my life to Jesus. You know, I was a little bit afraid from that if I'm going to give my life to Jesus, how my life will go on. And one night, we are with my wife with the mini donuts, and we don't have money for tomorrow. We have money only to buy some certain stuff for the mini donuts, and from that night, we're going to have so that we can live tomorrow. And that night when we opened the mini donuts, it started to rain. Very much it started to rain. And we're on the open fields and we get wet very much. And I was so, so discouraged. It's raining day, tomorrow we don't have money to buy food. And I said to my wife, Vesna, it's time to go home. Close the mini donuts and I cannot live this life anymore. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. And she didn't say nothing. We go to our home, and I lay down in my bed and says, God, Jesus, I understand that you came and that you paid the price on the cross and that you want to forgive all my sins. Jesus, please forgive me. I am a huge sinner. I destroyed so many people's lives, and I want you to come into my heart and to change my life. I accept you to be you my Lord and Savior. Friends, I'm telling you, that night I sleep as I've never before in my life. Peace came in my life. When I wake up next morning, I was able to feel the changes in my life, spiritually and physically. I was not the same Tony as yesterday. I was full with love when I woke up, when I saw my curtains in my room. I says, whoa, what kind of curtains we have in the room? I love my curtains. When I saw my lights, you know, my everything I love in the room. And when I saw my wife, I says, wow, what kind of wife I have? I love my wife. And I wake up and says, Mama, I love you so much. And he says, Tony, what are you talking about? And I went downstairs, we're living with my mom, and I went downstairs. And I says to my mom, Mom, I want to give you a hug. And Mom, do you know, I love you so much. And I says, Mom, today I became a son of God, you know, I received salvation. Jesus is in my heart. Jesus forgive my sin, you know. And Mom, one day I will be with Jesus. You know what Mom says to me? Don't you start to get together with the hospital and you become crazy. He says, no, Mom, I was crazy. Now I am the Son of God and you need Jesus. And that night when we went to the mini donuts, I was changed like this. And everything was about Jesus. We start to make mini donuts. Everybody who was coming to the mini donuts, I says, guys, you are sinners. You need Jesus. You need to repent. Jesus will give you salvation. Jesus will give you a new life, new purpose of your life. You are sinners, you know, you must accept Jesus. You know, and Vesna was punching me, said, shut up, you know, I'm ashamed of you. But that night was very, very important night for her to see the changings in my life. And that night I was telling everybody about Jesus. Hundreds and hundreds of people, they were coming to the mini donuts. And that night when we went home, she gave her life to Jesus, and she said, God, forgive me, I am the sinner, this is my husband. And forgive me, and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And from that day, we are faithfully serving to Jesus. I am telling to you guys, if there is somebody from you here today that don't have Jesus in your heart, you know, you see how my life was? I was a guy who was destroying people with my gambling machine, you know. I was destroying people's lives. Gambling is a huge business in Macedonia. And people can become addicted right like this, you know. And if you want to become a multi-millionaire, you just open a sports gambling, everybody will come and you make your money. But you know, that was not money from God, that was money from the devil. You know, Jesus changed my heart like this, you know, when I repent and when I invite Jesus to live in my heart. So if you're living, if there is somebody from you today here this morning that you are living without Jesus, I encourage you. Go in your room, you know, close the doors, repent. Repent, brothers and sisters. Repent in the name of Jesus Christ. He will give you a new life. He will give you abundance of life. He will give you a new purpose, you know. We will be walking one day on streets of gold. We will have a new body one day, you know. This is Jesus why he came on this earth, to give us new life, new purpose of our lives. So I encourage you today, if you didn't receive Jesus, just go in your home, repent, and receive Jesus Christ in your soul, in your body, and you will have abundance of life.
So Tony, you went from making donuts to making disciples.
Exactly.
But donuts and disciple making oftentimes go together in the Baptist faith. Right? I'm just saying. It's providence. Yes, you do. That's awesome. All right, I'm going to scroll through some of these pictures for the sake of time because there's a couple other things that I want to get to. But these are all pictures of Tony preaching and teaching in the village churches here with different Muslims. But there's one in particular that I want to get to, and it's right here. Would you tell us what is going on here?
This is the house of my friend Sazgin. He is a Turkish Muslim man, and I try to share the gospel to him. And I'm going there in his house very often. But one day he invited me, he says, Tony, all the Muslim people and the imams and the people who are serving in the mosque, they're gonna will be in our house. So I want you to come to our house so that we can worship Muhammad together. I says, okay, I will come. And I went there, and all those people, they're worshiping Muhammad. And when they stopped worshiping, I asked the imam, can you give me 5 minutes so that I can speak a little bit? And he says, okay, start to speak and I share the gospel to all of them, you know. And they were quiet, they didn't say nothing. But the imam was, I saw in his eyes, I saw in his butt, you know, he was shaking and he was very upset. He says, Tony, for us, Muhammad is the savior. And he says, no, you're wrong. Where is written in the Bible that Muhammad says that Muhammad is your savior? Jesus is your savior. If you're gonna receive Jesus, Jesus will save you and he will give you a new life. And the guy who was sitting next to me, you cannot see his face. He is the guy who is singing in the mosque. And he punched me so hard in my leg. And I feel so huge, but that punch was very, very hard. And I watched him, and I was willing to punch him too. But I catch his hand, and I says, Ilmi, Jesus loves you. And I start to speak more and more about Jesus. And all the people in that room, I feel very huge pressure and they become very angry about Jesus because I denied Muhammad. Guys, I says, Muhammad, they says, Muhammad is the light of the world, or Turkish language, they says many times, Muhammad is the light of the world, Muhammad is the light of the world. And I stand up, I says, no, Jesus is the light of the world, Jesus is the light. And they become very mad. And my friend says, Tony, maybe it's time so that we can go out because those people are gonna beat us here. So we leave the house and I'm getting together in that house very often. And guys, please, if you wanna remember sometimes on me, please keep in your prayers.
Tony, right now,
the imam's son has been coming to your church?
Yes, not of this imam, but of another imam started to attend to our church. His name is Elmas. He is a big boss of the scrap metal. And somehow he understands the gospel, but because of obstacle of his father, he cannot give his life to Jesus. But he says to his father, he says, when I start to go to Tony's church, my business start to grow and everything is okay and Jesus will give me a new life. And he says, you're preaching something and you never say that I'm gonna have a street from gold and that I'm gonna have new body. I never hear this from you. And his father was very upset. He says, do you know Tony came here and he will destroy everything? And they invite me and I went there and he says, his father says to me, Tony, I don't want you here because you're gonna destroy everything here. And I says, guys, I'm not here to destroy. I'm here to build something. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you and that you need to repent because you are sinners and that you need to receive Jesus so that he can give you
And Tony, I know when I was there with you and we were having the privilege of doing some things like this, there was a couple things that I learned. One was that oftentimes they've never, ever heard the gospel. Their idea of Jesus is something foreign to what the real idea of Jesus is. And so I know you're having to bring, you know, they're not threatened by Jesus until you tell them that he is God and he is the only way to heaven. That's when they become threatened by that. And secondly, many of these are illiterate. They can't read. Is that right? Am I right about that?
That's right. And the only way how they can grow is by hearing. So I need to be among them every single day to speak so that they can hear, so that they can grow. And we had a friend from Germany that sent me some Bible sticks, audio Bible sticks, so that I give to them. But many of them abuse those Bible sticks and they record some other music, you know. Their character, their attitude is very unmoral, unstable, and we need to be very careful with that. So that's the reason because every single day I am among them. During the morning when I'm gonna wake up, I prepare a message for daily message, and I'm going there and I'm sharing with them daily message so that they can grow. You know, that's very, very important thing.
One of these days I'm gonna be looking for some volunteers to put together a mission team to go to Stravica. We're going to put a baptistry in the mosque. Until then, if you get those guys to trade their prayer rugs in on folding chairs.
Vasil, what are you doing here in this picture?
I'm sharing that Jesus was baptized and the Holy Trinity appeared.
Jesus was baptized and what?
And
the Holy Trinity appeared. So you're doing a Bible study here with these folks?
Yeah.
That's awesome. And what are you doing here in the church?
Here I'm sharing my testimony.
Okay. How you met Jesus?
Yeah.
That's great. How did the people respond to that when you shared it to them?
They were like, oh, good. Bye.
Yeah. That's great. I like it. You look good. Okay, this is exciting to me. This place is really special to me because Tony took us down there, and this is where they are doing their baptisms. And so, Tony, tell me what's happening here.
This is the day when my friend Fikri, Turkish Muslim guy, gets baptized. So we came to this place here, and we baptize people, and we feel like that we are on the River of Jordan. It's a very primitive place, you know, but it looks like you are in the Old Testament. And
this was just a few months ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a few months ago. 2 months ago, and I came back from the trip from Jordan.
And I know you've had several baptisms there, but when a Muslim is baptized and professes Jesus as their Lord and Savior, can you tell me what you see, what do they experience from the community, from their friends, from their family? When they do that, what happens to them?
My friends right now, Fikri and Perihan, this is Perihan that is baptized, that we're getting together every Tuesday night in their home. They're right now rejected from all their society. They live in a place where it's about 120 or 130 Turkish Muslim houses, and now they are like a black sheep among all of them, you know. And the leader of the mosque that are among them is, his name is Ishmael, and he called me and he says that he told me you need to buy them a house among you, so we gonna burn them their house here. I hope that he was not willing to do that, but they were just the words because he was very angry. And Fikri says, Tony, if somebody will touch my sons, I will go and kill them, because he's trying to protect his children. And for me, somebody to make a step from Muslim faith to come to be baptized and to be born again, child, you know, this is a huge, huge step, you know. And all those people, they are joking with them right now, and they says, now when you're gonna die, we are not gonna bury you in our cemetery. You need to go to be buried where Tony will be buried. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult for them. They are very rejected right now, and some of them, they are playing jokes with them, you know, and they feel uncomfortable with them. But there's a reason, because when I sending a prayer request, so guys, please pray for this family, so that they can be protected and that they can grow in the name of Jesus, so they can be very stable in the faith.
And who's that guy right there?
This is my son.
So he was baptized too. That's awesome. That's the picture of all of them. Okay, now I see Vesna here. Can she tell us what's going on here?
Yes.
Крштавањето, кога заврши крштавањето, тука дојдовме кај луѓето што се крсте, има нешто спремено за нас.
This is the day after the baptism, when we get together to Deta village in Banica, where we having our church service, and we make a food and we provide food for everybody so that we can enjoy in the food.
So this is a food fellowship. So you all are of the Baptist doctrine then. Absolutely, that's awesome.
This is another guy. His name is Turgay, and he was my good disciple, but right now he is my biggest enemy, because he was manipulating all the time with the gospel and all the things. But I learned this very late. I was thinking that he is very honest, and we were going around the villages with this guy, and he was very often in our house. But right now he is in the mosque serving to the Islam, and he's my enemy right now. When I am among them, he's very against me. He all the time, when I'm speaking, he's all the time cutting my speeches, you know. He's making problems and
interrupting you.
He's interrupting me, yes, all the time, and that was how things are going, you know. And it's very discouraging when you're going to invest a lot of time with somebody, and when some guys are going to turn the back.
I'm going to go to the last slide because of time. I know all of these are different ministries that you've been involved in. But in your listening guide, there on your bulletin, you'll see that there's a few bullet points there that says prayer requests under there. And what I want to do, Tony, is I want you to give us a few prayer requests. I first want you to start from a ministry perspective. How can we as a church, because they're going to write this down, and they're going to put this on the refrigerator in their Bible to remember to pray for you. How can we be praying for you from a ministry perspective?
You already hear my vision that we want to fulfill all these villages with the gospel. So please pray when we're going to make evangelism to those villages that people will be touched by the Holy Spirit and so that they can open their house so that we can plant a home group Bible study that this home group will become later a church. So this is one of the prayer requests. Another prayer request is pray while I'm among the Muslims so that God will work among the Muslims while I'm sharing the gospel to them so that they will understand that Jesus is the light of the world, but not Muhammad.
That's awesome. Now I want to flip this and I want to ask how we can pray for you personally. How can we pray for you and your family personally?
Guys, we are among 100% spiritual blind people. We need the prayers that God will protect us while we are among all those people because we are receiving obstacles from not just from the Muslim imams but also from the Orthodox priests because if you want to be a Macedonian, you have to be Orthodox. And if you're not Orthodox, you are part of some kind of cult. And people watch us as a cult there in Macedonia. And my son is the only one born again child in his school among 1,200 kids.
Wow.
He's the only one. And I know all his friends putting him nicknames, teachers torture him. It's very difficult to live in that kind of spiritual blind area. And we need your prayers, you know. And please pray for us that God will keep us in good health and that God will strengthen us so that we can go boldly to pray to preach the gospel so that the name of Jesus will be glorified.
Absolutely. So let me tell you what we're going to do. We're actually going to take, as we move into invitation time, we're going to take some time and we're going to pray for those right now. And what I'm going to ask Tony and his family to do is to stand right here, right down front. And in just a second, I'm going to ask you if you feel led to come up and just surround him and put your hands on him so that we can pray specifically for them. And then I'm going to ask, I see Dave Lanham here. I'm going to ask Dave Lanham to come up, and he is going to corporately pray for their personal needs and pray over them as we as a church gather around them. And I'm going to ask Jim Shirky to pray for their ministry as we gather around them. And so if you would be willing to come up and just surround them, let's surround them and lay hands on them so that we can pray for them. And Dave will pray for them, and then Jim will also pray for them. Just if you feel led, let's just be the church body. I love what we're doing as a church, you know. I just love it. I love that our church is not just focused on us. We're focused on the gospel and getting the gospel out and all over the world. And I love that we have just a small part in that in Macedonia, in being with this family. And you all know my heart. I've been preaching about it for weeks now. I pray that we can do so much more of this, that we can strengthen local churches, wherever that is, locally, internationally, that we can continue to strengthen them so that they can do their work. Because, man, people need Jesus. They don't just need Jesus in Springfield, Missouri. They need Jesus in Strumicia, Macedonia, and the surrounding villages and all over the world. And the work is hard, right? I sometimes complain that my work here is hard. I don't know what hard is because nobody, not one of you, have ever said that you want to cut my head off for telling you about Jesus. I don't know what hard work is, but they're doing it, and we need to pray for them that God would continue to use them in mighty and powerful and effective ways. Let's take about 15 seconds of silence and pray for them. Then Dave Lanham will pray for them, and Jim Shirky will pray for them, and we'll conclude our services.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this dear family that have put all on the line to serve you in a very difficult place. And Father, as I pray for them this morning, I want to join them in their prayer for your protection for them as they're in an area that is just spiritually desolate. People that don't know you, and those that actually actively oppose them and hate them. And Father, we just pray for your protection and your grace. You say the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear them and delivers them. And so we want to claim that for them. And Lord, I pray that you would raise up a spiritual fellowship for them from among the Macedonian people, that there would be those that would grow in grace so that they could become one in heart in the spiritual battle, that they could be like Jonathan was, Jonathan's armor bearer was to Jonathan when he went to him and said, Jonathan, you do all that is in your heart and I am with you heart and soul. And so I pray for that. I pray for Vesna and for Vasil. We pray, Lord, that there could be more than just Vasil in that school that know you, that there would be other children that would come to faith and that he could have the privilege of having Christian playmates. And for Vasil too, Lord, I just lift her to you and her ministry among the women, and just pray likewise that that you would provide those of like heart, and that the family as a whole could just rejoice in the spiritual fruit. Jesus' name.
Father, this family that have become so dear to us personally, I pray, Father, for Tony, that you give him good health, strength, keep your vision before him. Thank you, Lord, for the vision that you've given him as he reaches out to those 72 villages around Stravisa. I pray, Father, for himself being persecuted in school, sometimes persecuted by his teacher. Lord, I just pray that you give him strength and that you encourage him. I pray, Father, for Vesna as she goes to work and shares the gospel as she's working with ladies here. I pray, Lord, that you bless this family from on high, that you give them the strength, the courage, encouragement to go on and to share the gospel. Pray, Father, for Fikri and his family, and Lord, you continue to grow them up. And as you raise about Tony and his family, a group of disciples who could help in the ministry in Stravisa. Again, Lord, I thank you for these people and for what they mean to us. And I pray your blessing.
As they all take their seats, I'm going to move us right now into a time of invitation, because I don't know who's here today, and Tony has beautifully shared the gospel, and you may be here today and need to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Because like Tony said, Christ will change you from the inside out. He doesn't just change the external, he changes the internal. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, and look, the new has come. And so I most certainly want to give you an opportunity to do that if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I promise you he will change you. I promise you. He changed me when I was 25, and he'll change you if you've never received his grace. I also want to ask you to pray for what we're going to be doing this afternoon. Pray that people will come to Fall Fest, that our community will come. Pray that kids will come. Pray that parents will come. They will be saturated in the gospel today. They will take the gospel home with them, and they will hear the gospel this afternoon as well. And so pray that they will come, that Satan will stay away, because I believe with all of my heart that he'll want to trip this up. Please pray for that not to happen, and pray that that event be well. Our job is to present the gospel, to plant the seeds. God's job is to make them sprout. So we're going to do our job as best as we can today. And thank you for all of you who are working so hard to make that happen. And then third, I want to ask you to pray for our teams that are going to into the prisons next weekend in Dallas, Behind the Walls Ministry. I'm not going to bring them up, but Curtis Stevens, Trina Stevens, myself, my wife, Becky, and also Jay Berger, and I don't see him here today. That team will be leaving Thursday morning to drive down, and we will be in the prisons Friday morning and Saturday morning, home late Saturday night. And so pray for us as we go, because we also will be taking the gospel message into several prisons in the Dallas-Fort Worth market. Maybe during this time, you just need to come to the altar and pour your heart out to the Lord. Maybe you need to come profess Jesus and be saved. Maybe God is leading you to join our church. Southgate is all about equipping every believer to go and make disciples. We believe that it's not our job to make disciples, it's your job to make disciples. And as a church, that's exactly what we're trying to do. And so if God is leading you to be part of our church, we'd love to receive you right here if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to pray, then we're going to stand. Whatever God is doing in your heart, I'll be right here. At the conclusion of that, we will move forward with the service and have our offertory time, and then we'll close our services and be finished for today. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, so much for today. And I remember the day so clearly when I was standing on foreign soil and we were standing outside of a house. And there were people gathered. Many of them were lost. Many of them had just come to Christ. And you could sense your spirit so powerfully. And I just remember at that moment looking up. I didn't understand a word that was being spoken around me, but I didn't have to, because I remember looking up and seeing the moon shining so beautifully that night. And I remember thinking, you are the God that the whole world worships. And it doesn't matter about language, and it doesn't matter about skin color. It doesn't matter about anything. We are all worshiping you, even while we're on the other side of the world. And I'm just so thankful to hear the same stories and the same scriptures and the same God and the same Jesus and the same Holy Spirit, the same everything, God, here and all over the world is bringing people unto yourself. And that is a powerful thing for me to hear. And I thank you for this family, Lord, and I pray for them. I pray that you provide for their needs and give them boldness and strength to keep moving on and keep going, to keep plowing that soil, to keep speaking the name of Jesus, to stand up in the face of danger, honestly, and speak truth. And I pray, Lord, that you'll use that truth to bring people to you. Oh, God, I pray that if somebody here for the first time has been, their heart has been opened by the gospel, that maybe today they would surrender their life to you, give it all to you, and be changed forever. We love you, Lord. I pray as we sing this final song that we will glorify you and worship you with all that we have. It's in the name of Jesus that I offer this prayer. Amen.